Today's Shir, Masechus Sanhedrin, Daf Chof Tes. If you are not familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The first few words of today's shiur are found at the very bottom of Chof Ches Amud Beis, B'nei Chamua Demor Ukva, Kroivim V'Nisrachaku Havu. They were relatives that had once been related and are no longer related. What happened, in effect, were the sister of Maruk, the sister of their sister, who was Marukva's wife, died. Technically speaking, Bnei Chamua de Marukva are the sons of the father-in-law of Marukva. So, Marukva had a father-in-law, namely his wife's father, and she had brothers. When she died, when their sister died, they were no longer related to Marukfa. Asu l'kame l'dina. These two fellows, his deceased wife's brothers, came to Marukfa for a case to be tried. Amar lehu, Marukva said, Pasilna lehu ledina, I am not fit, or I am disqualified from judging your case. Amrulei, they turned to him and asked, Mai daitoch ki Rabbi Yehuda, why do you rule that way? Because you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, who was restrictive with regard to Korov v'Nisrachik, those who were related and became unrelated. Anan, my sinon igrisa mimarava, we will bring a letter from Eretz Yisrael, the Ein Halacha Krabuta, that the Halacha does not follow Rabuta's ruling. By the way, that certainly was the spirit of the end of the Gemara on Chof Chesam and Beis, where we saw two Lashonas of Rabbi Yochanan saying not to paskin like Rabuta. Amar lehu. So Marukva said back to them, Otu bekavo dekira idbikna bechu. Do you think that I am stuck to you like wax? Delo koamina pasilna lechu ledina, ela mishum delo tzaisisu dina. That which I said, that I am not qualified, or I am disqualifying myself from your case, is not because I'm puzzle to judge your case, not because I'm unfit, but rather because you people do not heed judicial rulings. Oyev ze shushbino. Ve kamo. Shushbino is generally understood to be those that accompany a groom, a newlywed man, during his wedding and shortly thereafter. So, for how long is a person classified as a shushbin? We have here a couple of opinions. Number one, Omar Rav Abba, Omar Rav Yirmiyah, Omar Rav, Kol Shivas Yemei Hamishte, all 7 days that follow the wedding. V'Rabonon Mishmei D'Rava Amri Afilu Miyoyim Rishon V'Eilech, that even from the first day after the wedding and onwards, this shushbinus status is no longer applicable with regard to the ability to judge his case. Hasone, maybe we should be a little more accurate and say that Rashi points out on the second line from the top, Miyom Rishon Velech, Bot Lo Shushbinus, V'Koshir Lohayid. And as a result of no longer having this Shushbinu status, he can serve as witness for the other, the Shushbin for the groom. Hasone kol shelo diber imoy shlosh yomim be'eva. Amar lei lo nechshelu Yisrael al kach. The Mishnah spoke about someone who stopped talking to the other. In other words, who was giving him the silent treatment as a result of some anger. And the response to this was that even though there might be anger between two people, as a result of that, though, they would not lie, they would not offer false testimony. Tana Rabbanan. The Gemara presents us with a Tanaic source. As you can see, it's in a frame and in our marking system, as you know from all of the introductory information. Tanaic sources appear in frames to distinguish it from the rest of the Gemara. This source opens up with a posuk from the topic of someone who kills inadvertently. It's called the Parsha of Rotzeach B'Shogeg. The posuk says, V'hu lo oyev lo ye'idenu. V'hu is a pronoun referring to a witness. If he is not his enemy, he can testify. V'loi mevakesh ro'oso. This is the continuation of that posuk, and this is a reference to the judges. If he's not seeking out his evil, yedinenu, he can judge him. Ashkechan sone. So we see from this part of the posuk references to those that have hate. Ohev minolan. From where do we know the halachas concerning ohev, that an ohev is not acceptable? Kari be hochi. V'hu lo ohev lo, v'lo ohev lo. Yedinenu. Understand the posuk as follows. That when it says he doesn't hate him, the pasuk is trying to imply he doesn't hate him, nor does he love him. Then he can serve as a witness. V'lo mivakesh ra'asoi, v'lo tovoso. And likewise, if he doesn't seek out his evil, nor does he seek out his toiva, then he can judge him. The Gemara, though, challenges this approach and asks, midi oyev ksiv, does it say in this pasuk anything about one who loves the other? So to base the halachas of oyhev on a pasuk doesn't carry water. Ela svorahu. Rather, it's a matter of logic. Oyev maitaimo. Why is it that an oyev is not acceptable to serve in a judicial capacity? Mishum demeruchaka daite, because his mind is too distant from his friend. In other words, they are too distant from one another. Oyev nami mikrovadaite, they're too close to one another. Virabonan. Hai loy oyev loy velomavakish rosoi mai darshibe. The Rabbanan who disagree with this opinion, namely the Rabbanan who claim that because of oyev or sone status, a person would not lie. So what does the opinion of the Rabbanon do with regard to this pasuk? Chad l'dayon, one of the phrases in the pasuk is needed to talk about one serving as a judge, namely, that according to the Rabbanon, though, as far as saying false testimony, Oyev and Soni would not fall into that category, nevertheless, he cannot serve as a judge. So one of the two psukim here is excluding a judge who is an oyev or sone. Particularly, the pasuk is referring to oyev. So a judge who is an oyev, who is an enemy, wrathful toward the defendant, toward the people needing judgment, cannot serve as a judge. Idoch, the second pasuk that we saw featured in the source, the second phrase, Kidisanya, is as follows. Amar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, V'hu lo oyev lo, v'lo mevakesh ro'asoi. That's the pasuk we were citing. Mikan l'shnei talmidei chachomim shesoinen ze'ezeh, she'ein yoshvin bedin ke'echad. Two sages that are at odds with one another, they shall not sit together as judges in the same beis din. Mishnah. Ketza Boykin Esu Edim. How do we check out witnesses? We have to make sure that witnesses are saying honest testimony. They would be brought into a room, umaimin alehen, and they would be threatened, so to speak, but that's too superficial a translation. We will see what that means when we go into the Gemara. Umotzin oison lechutz, and we bring them out. Umishayrin esagodol shebohen, we retain the elder or the bigger one of them, the greater of them, the umrim lo, and then we address the godol of the witnesses and say, emor, tell us, heich ato yodea sheze chayav loze, you who are testifying that that A is obligated to pay B, how do you know that? Im Omar, if the witness says, Hu Omar li shani chayav lo, A, the borrower, said he is obligated to pay B, or Ish ploini yomar li shu chayav lo, or so and so told me that that A is obligated to pay B. Loi omar klum, there is no value to such testimony. Ad shiyomar, until you have a situation where the witness says as follows: Bifonenu hoydoloi shuhu chayav loi masayim, in front of us the two parties were present, the loive and the malve, the borrower and the lender, or the one to whom the money was owed, and in front of us he admitted to be that he is obligated to pay the 200 zuz, that amount of money. V'achar kach machnisin es hasheni, afterwards we bring in the second witness, ubotkinoso, and check him out. Im nimtza devorehem michuvanim, if we find them to be testifying the same line of testimony, noisin v'noisin badavor, then the judges deliberate the case. Shnayim omrim zakai v'echad omer chayav, zakai, if two rule innocent and one says obligated or guilty, he's innocent. We follow the majority. Shnayim omrim chayav v'echad omer zakai chayav. If two say he's obligated, only one says he's innocent or not obligated, he is obligated. Another situation, though, echad omer chayav v'echad omer zakai, split decision. One says chayav and one says zakai. Filu shnayim zakin or shnayim chayvin, or even if you have a situation where two take a stand, either innocent or guilty, v'echad omer eini yodea. And we've dashed underline this. This is the main point of this section. And one of the three judges says, I don't know, yosifu hadayonim. The fact that he says, I don't know, Rashi explains, is considered as if he is not there. And therefore, even though we have two of the three opinions taking a stand, and that means taking a similar stand, that they either agree he's guilty or not guilty. And the third man, had he taken an opinion, the third Dayan, had he taken a stand, he would have been in the minority, and we therefore would know where the case is going. However, by the mere fact that he says, Eini Yodea, is considered as if he's not there, and a court, in order to be a kosher court, needs to have three present. Hence, the one saying, I don't know, it's as if he's not there. And then, therefore, therefore, Yosifu Adayanim, there's a procedure whereby we add judges to the court. Gomru esadavar hoyu machnisin oisan, when they complete their deliberations, they are then brought in. Hagadol shebeleyonim omer, ish ploni ato zakai, ish ploni ato chayav. And then they rule, you are, to the one who's guilty is guilty and obligated, the other one being innocent. And they rule thusly. Uminayin lichshiyotze lo yoymar ani mezakei v'chaveri mechayvin, avo ma ese shechaveri rovu oloi. And from where do we know that when a case is completed and the judges emerge, and that one of them should not say, I was really arguing for your innocence, and it's only they, the other two, who were ruling your guilt. And what can I do? I am in the minority. So from where do we know that a judge should not behave thusly? Al ze ne'emar, Holech Rochil Megalesoid. Regarding that, it's referred to by this pasuk, which is of course of a negative nature, one being a tale bearer. Hechi Amri Lahu. The Gemara at this point is addressing the opening of the Mishnah, said Ketzad, which mentioned Ma'aymin Aleihem. So we're going to be asking her, how is this Iyum, how is this threat or fearful speech conducted with regard to the witnesses so as to shake them into reality that they should tell the truth? And our topic heading on the outside margin, the Nosei Mivne, structural note, we've indicated, Ketzad Ma'aymin Alo Edim, the Hoyid Emes, how do we encourage them to tell the truth? We will notice in the markings a series of triangles with colored in tops, three Hatzaot, these are three suggestions, and as we go along in the Gemara, we'll notice the appearance of a double underline, those represent the rejections of the previous suggestion. So the first suggestion, Amar Yehuda, Hochi Amrinan Luhu, we say to the witnesses thusly, Nesiim Veruach, Nesiim is a reference to clouds and winds, Vegeshem Oyen, that even though all of the elements indicate rain is coming, Ish Mishalel B'matas Sheker, nevertheless, the rain will not fall because of he who is involved with lying. So we are threatening them by saying that if you lie, you will be responsible for the lack of rainfall. Omar Rava. Rava says, that's not going to shake them up. Yachli lemeimar, they can say in response, Shev shani havikafna, that for 7 years there may be famine, ve'abova umna lo cholif, but by the doorway of the umna, of the uman, the famine is not felt. The Rashi explains this a little bit more. Omar Rava, my ich baslu im lo yerduk shomim. What does it matter to them, to these phonies, if rain doesn't fall? Amri believa, moshal hedyot, they'll say to themselves the following common analogy. Shev shani havi kafno, the above the umna lo cholif, which means, al pesach mishe de umnus, by the doorway of someone who has some kind of craft or some of artisan, ubal malacha, he has some kind of job, lo avaharov, that even though the community at large might suffer a famine, we're not going to be affected. Therefore, we must seek out another form of iyum that would serve to put them on note that they should not lie. Elo Omar Rava, Amrinan Lahu, we say as follows, Mefitz v'cherev v'cheis shanun, ish oinev reu eid sheker. Which we are to understand as follows, that because of the sin of false testimony, pestilence, dever, comes upon the community. Ravashi rejects this as well, because this won't shake them up. Yachli lemeimar, they can always say, Shev shoni havim mosna, that there may be pestilence and death for 7 years. Ve'inish below shoni lo shechav, but a person doesn't die before his time. So that when our time comes to die, we'll die because of our time having come, not because of saying false testimony. Elam Ravashi. So Ravashi presents what may be, in fact, a very great sociological and psychological insight, and says, Amar li Nosan bar Marzutra, Nosan told me, Amrina lehu, we tell the witnesses the following. Saadi shakri a ograyu zili. People who are willing to testify falsely are considered lowly even in the eyes of those who hired them to lie. Dichtiv. The Pasuk says in the context of Novos HaYisraeli, which was a situation in the time of King Ahav, where Ahav wanted to take over his property, and there was an attempt to have Novos removed. So false witnesses were hired to lie about Novos. And in that section, the following pasuk appears: "V'hoshivu shnayim anoshim b'nei Belial negdoi, v'idu lemor beirachta elokim v'melech." Without getting into the details, it says here that those that hired the false witnesses view them as b'nei Belial. We've dashed underline expression. We will hire these phonies, and they're described as b'nei Belial, which we would say, we call them low lives. empty individuals that would be hired to say the false testimony against Navos. So what do we see? We see that even those that hire them refer to those willing to lie under testimony as B'nei Belial. Im Omar, if the witness says that the borrower said, Hu Omar Li V'chulei, Ad Shiomru B'foneinu Hoide Eloi Shu Chayav Lo Mosayim Zuz. The witness will not be able to testify about the obligation to pay a debt unless the witness says that in front of us the borrower admitted to the lender that he owed him the money. The expression here, "b'foneinu hoidelo shulchayev," Rashi understands as is borne out by the continuation of the Gemara. It's mashma. It seems to indicate that the Lova appointed these people to be witnesses. Was a minui edus for them to serve as witnesses in order to hear the borrower's admission. Mesayle l'Rav Yehuda, Yom Rav Yehuda Marav. This supports the teaching of Rav Yehuda Marav. And his teaching is featured, by the way, in our introductory comment in the outside margin, the Nosei, edus al hoidoas mamoin. Testimony regarding admission of debt, tzarech lomar atem edai. There is a need for the one admitting to announce, you are my witnesses. So the Mishnah that says b'foneinu hoideloi would support Rav Yehuda Marav's teaching that tzarech shiyomar atem edai. Itmar nami, the Gemara continues, Omar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Omar Rav Yochanan, we're reading with the note on the outside margin, Vitzorch Shiyomar Atem Edai. It's necessary for the one admitting to appoint those that are listening as witnesses. Tanya Nami Hochi, we now have a Tanaic source that supports this. Mono Li Biotcha. A lender claims from a borrower, you owe me money. My money is in your possession. Amalo Hain, he says, yes, I owe you the money. Lamochar Amarlo Tenehuli. The next day the lender says, pay me. Amarlo Mishatani Boch. I was just kidding. Potter. He is not obligated to pay. The Rashi points out the main information that's not in the source. It says, V'afopi Shishamu Edim Esmo Shahoidalo. Even though witnesses heard him yesterday admit. Why is he potter? As Rashi says, Hoyo v'lo omar atem edai. Because there was no formal appointing of them to be the witnesses to hear the admission. Continuing in the source, v'lo od. Not only that, elo afilu hichmin loy edim achurigeder, even if he hid witnesses behind a fence, v'omar lo, and the lender said, Mono libiotcho, amalohein, and the borrower says yes, and then the lender says, "Ritzoncha shetoydu b'fnei ploni v'oni." Would you agree to testify to admit in front of so and so and so and so? Amalo, misyor ani shema tachpeni l'din. I don't want to admit in front of them because I'm fearful that they might force me to come to court. Lamochar Amarlo, the next day, the lender says, Teneuli, give me the money. Amarlo, Mishata Niboch, I was just kidding. Potter. The section that we see here in brackets the brackets are positioned here because within them we have a loshon, we have an expression that the Gemara has to correct. Therefore, if we skip initially, we say im lo itoan, ein toanim lo. If, however, the person, the borrower, does not say on his own, I was kidding, then we, the court, will not say that for his benefit. We will not toan that for him. Ubedine nefoshos afagav de lo toan, toanim lo. However, in a capital case, if a person has a claim that he could have made to to help exonerate him, and he does not say it, we, the court, will say it on his behalf in an attempt to save his life. And that's true, as we said, in capital cases. V'ein toyanin lemesis. However, when it comes to a mesis, this is a type of person who attempts to convince others to go off the path and practice idolatry. People that are guilty of mesis are not going to benefit from this idea of toyanin lo. Let's go back over the bracketed section. Source had mentioned that if a person says regarding a debt, that he admitted, and the next day he says, I was just kidding, he's exempt. V'ein toyanin lemesis. And the source would have read on by saying that we don't toyan, we don't argue, we don't offer arguments in defense of the mesis. So the Gemara asks, mesis mandekar shmei, who made any mention of mesis that all of a sudden the source introduces this concept of we don't offer arguments benefiting the mesis. But mesis wasn't part of our discussion beforehand. The source was left brief, but it should be understood thusly. Im loitan, if in the financial realm, the person doesn't say, Mishata anibach, ein toyanin lo, we do not offer those defensive arguments on his behalf. However, in capital cases, even if a person did not offer a defensive argument, the court will intervene on his behalf. However, v'ein to'anin l'mesis, that even though mesis is the realm of capital punishment, nevertheless, we will not offer arguments on behalf of the mesis. The Gemara asks, Maishnah Mesis, what is unique about the Mesis? What sets him apart from other capital cases? Omer of Chama Bar Chanina, Mipirkei de Rabbi Chiya, Bar Abba Shmili, from the Shiur, from the teachings of Rabbi Chiya, I heard the answer to this. Shiny Mesis, the Rachmona Omar, the case of Mesis is different because the Torah itself has said, Loi Sachmul Veloi Sechase Olav, that one should not have compassion nor try to cover for him. Omer of Shmuel bar Nachman, Omer of Yonason, Minayin she'ein to'anin lemesis. From where do we know that we don't argue on behalf of the mesis? We don't offer defensive arguments for him. Minochash hakadmoni, from the original nochash. Nochash featured in Parshas Bereishis with Adam and Chava. The Omer of Simloi, harbe tainas hoya lo lenochash liton velotan. That nochash, sometimes interpreted or translated as the original serpent, but that Nochash had a lot of claims that he could have said to defend himself, and yet did not say them. He didn't say them himself. So if that be the case, so why didn't the Kodesh Baruch Hu himself say something in defense of the Nochash? Lefi shelo to'anhu. Because he, the Nochash, himself didn't say them. Now, the Nochash was a type of mesis. He was trying to convince Chava to sin. He was trying to lead her astray. My have lei lemeimar. What could the Nochash have said in his own defense? So, before we go further, just to review what happened, is the Nochash tried to convince Chava to consume the fruit from the Eitz Hadas. In the end of the day, the Nochash was successful in convincing her of eating from that which was forbidden. The Nochash could have said, maybe I convinced her to eat it, but nevertheless, Divrei Harav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomin. If you have the rabbi or the master saying one thing and the student trying to say something else, who is one expected to heed? Divrei Harav, Shomin, obviously the words of the master. Hence, I, the Nochash, was a Talmud with respect to you, the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And hence, if you commanded not to eat it, it should have made no difference all the arguments in the world that I made for, yes, consuming it. And yet she didn't follow this teaching. And she followed the Talmud instead of the Rav. So it's her problem, not mine. Omar Chizkiah. Before we go further, we have a structural note and topic heading in the outside margin. Nosei and Mivnes. We see we featured with the markings a diamond form with a colored in top. Three sources that illustrate the concept or principle that he who is guilty of, he who adds, in effect, detracts. In a broad sense, that when the Torah gives us a mitzvah, one is expected to follow the mitzvah as it is, and not to add to it nor detract from it. From where do we know this principle? The pasuk in the case of Chava, whom we were just discussing, says, Chava said to the Nachash, Omar Elohim, lo sochu mimenu velo sigu bo. We've dashed underlined the expression velo sigu bo, where she claimed that Kodesh Baruch Hu told them not to consume from the Eitz Hadas, nor to touch it either. Truth is, Kodesh Baruch Hu never commanded that, not to touch it. But she claimed that that was part of, she added, she was moisif. As a result of that, Rashi points out that the Nochash pushed her onto the tree. She had contact with the Eitz Hadas, and nothing happened to her. So the Nochash argued that just like there is no death for Negiah, there's also not going to be any death for eating from it either. So by adding, she in effect caused the sin or the misunderstanding to follow. Rav Mishashia Amar Mehocha, Amosayim Vochetzi Orkoi. This word Amosayim is spelled with an aleph at the beginning. Amosayim means two amos. Amosayim Vochetzi, 2.5 amos is its length. If you were to drop the aleph, in other words, the aleph was added to this word, if you drop the aleph, it would say Mosayim. Mosayim is 200. So by adding, by being Moisif, you are reducing. By adding something, you're adding a letter, you're reducing the amount. That's called Moisif Geirea. Ravashi Omar, Ashtei Esrei Yirios. Ashtei Esrei is 11. By removing the added ayin, you get Shtei Esrei, which would be 12. So by adding, you are in effect reducing. As we continue in the Gemara, we encounter a new geometric form, a house form, and on the outside margin, we see the Nosei Mivneh, three Makoros, Shekol. Let us correct ourselves. We just discussed the three Makoros with regarding Moisif Gerea. The house form, in this case, is used to feature Abaye and Rava. Abaye and Rava will be dealing with exemption, even though witnesses may have heard what was being said. Omar Abaye, Loi Shonu, that which we said that one is exempt from having to pay, even though witnesses heard the admission. Lo Shonu Elo Di Omar Meshate Anibach. Avol. Whereas this is so only if the borrower said, I was only kidding when I admitted. Avol Omar Lo Hoyu Dvorim Me'olam. If he were to say, I never admitted, Huchsuk Kafron, he assumes the status of being a liar, and he will not be believed even if he tries to take an oath to back his argument up. Why is that? Because by saying, he's saying, Lo Hoyu Dvarim Olam means I never confessed, but he did confess. Witnesses heard his confession the day before. So if on the subsequent day he says, Mishatani Boho, I was just kidding, he's not contradicting anything that happened. He's admitting that he made an admission. He's simply saying that it was a joke. Mm-hmm. However, by saying it never happened, he's lying because he did admit the day before, and witnesses heard it. Rav Popo braid Rav Acho bar Ado. Let's reread this. Omar Lei Rav Popo braid du Rav Acho bar Ado. Hochi Amrina Mishmei de Rovo. He is going to now offer an opinion differing from that of Abaye. Kol mili dichdi lo dikiri inchi. All things that are kedi, that are empty, that are meaningless, people don't remember. Hence, if the fellow on day one said or admitted owing money, but it was all untrue, he never really owed the money, and then on day two he denies ever having admitted it, but since the admission was itself empty, his denial does not classify him as a liar, because people don't remember those things that themselves were empty of content. As we go on in our Gemara, we notice another appearance of geometric forms. In this case, we see the triangle and a double underline being used. So we look at our note on the side. No same if now we see the triangle, two maisim, two incidents, shall moide bechoiv im edim muchboim, with witnesses that are hidden, and the double underline is going to hide the different places in which these witnesses were hidden while the confession took place. First case is at Bekilsei, they were hidden under a canopy. Usually the kila is a canopy bed, so they were hiding under the canopy that was over a canopy bed while the fellow was admitting. The second example is a person that went into a grave when the witnesses were hid themselves in a dug grave while the admission was taking place. Hahu di achmin le edim lechavrei bekilsei. It was a person that hid witnesses in a canopy, under a canopy. Omar le mono li biodcha. The lender said, you owe me money. Omar lehain. The borrower admitted, yes. Omar, the lender said, Eiri v'shachvi lehevu aloch sadi. Let the live and the dead, or the awake, the those that are awake and those that are sleeping, bear witness to your confession. Rashi says, Eri v'shachvi, levu aloch sadi, roitze ato, shiyu kol hashoymin me'idim. Do you want all of the listeners to testify, bein ne'urin, bein yeshenim, whether they be awake or sleeping, she'emakir zebo shelo yoyde b'fnei yedim. This lender knew, understood that the borrower would not formally admit in front of witnesses. Omar Balibo, Shemoye Savor Shekulam Yeshenim, V'yomar Hein. The lender was hoping that the borrower would figure, well, anyone that's around here is probably sleeping, and he will admit and say yes. So the story goes on in our Gemara, where the lender said, are you willing for all the awake and sleeping people to be witnesses? Amale lo, the borrower said, no, I'm not willing for that to happen. Amrav Kana, ha amale lo, the borrower said no. And by virtue of that, we don't have witnesses that will be able to obligate him to pay up this debt. Hahu the Achmin Edim Bekivra Lechavrei. Similar story where a lender hid witnesses in a grave. Amarle Mono Li Biodcha. And the lender said, you owe me money. Amarle Hain. The borrowers agreed, yes. Chaye Umaisi Levu Aloch Sadi. Are you willing to have the live and the dead to serve as witnesses? Amarle Lo. No, I'm not willing. Amr of Shimon ben Lokish, ho amar lelo. So Rav Shimon ben Lokish rules, he's not going to be bound to pay the debt because he did not want to have people serve as witness. Amr of Inovi Temer of Papa, Shmami no Miha. from this we can conclude the following. Ha diyamar of Yehuda omar Rav, tzorech sheyemer atem edai, that which Rav Yehuda Marav said on Amud Aleph, that a borrower will not become obligated unless he appoints the witnesses. Lo shna ki amar leve, lo shna ki amar malve v'shasik leve. It doesn't matter whether the love was the one appointing the witnesses to hear his admission, and it doesn't matter whether it's the malve that appointed them as witnesses and the love remained quiet, namely accepted. By silence, his silence was acquiescence. Taimo di amar leve lo. Up till now, we've seen that the reason that there is no edus, that we do not consider the hidden witnesses as serving as witnesses, is because the lova issued a protest. Aval I shosik, if the lova had remained quiet, hachinami, then he would have been obligated to pay that which he admitted, being that there were witnesses. Hahu davakorule. There was a person, before we go on, let us just take note of our geometric markings. The Nosei Mivna, we have the bow tie form, Shnei Dugmois, Vinyan Odom Osui Shalola Hasbia Es Atzmo. We're going to see two examples, or two situations, where a person will say things in order to create the impression that he does not have the wherewithal, that he is not literally satisfied, but he doesn't have. In other words, these are comments that a person makes that are not to be taken literally. Hahu davukorule kav roshu. There was a person that was referred to as a kav, as literally a measure, but we could say full of debts. Omar, and then he said, man masik bi eloploni uploni. To whom am I chayev? To whom do I owe money? And he mentioned names. Ploni uploni. Asu tavuhu ledino kamei Rav Nachman. These fellows whose names were mentioned by the original party came and brought the original party to Din, claiming, well, you said that you owe us money. Amar Rav Nachman, Adam osui shelo lasbia es atzmo. People will say things, in other words, this guy will say that he owes money in order to create an impression that he is a man full of debt and doesn't have money for himself, but that was merely to create an impression. But in fact, he's not really in debt to these people. Hahu dahavakorule, notice we have a marking in the space between the Gemara and the Tosis to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. This is a Maisa, a long incident, and it lasts all of the lines that are opposite this vertical dashed line. Hahu dehavakorule achbro deshochev adinri. There was someone that was referred to as the mouse that sleeps upon coins. The Rashi explains a little bit more. Oshir shalonene mimono. A rich man that doesn't derive any benefit from his wealth, just like a mouse that rests upon a mountain of gold coins and doesn't have any benefit from them. So there was this person that was called Achbro de Shochev Adinri. Kikos Shochev Omar, upon his deathbed he says as follows, Planya Planya Masku Bi Zuzi. He mentions people by name that he owes to them money. Bosu de Shochiv, Osu Tavinu Liorshim. After he died, the people that were mentioned by name came and summoned the heirs to court in order to pay up. Osu Lukame de Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. The case came to him. Omar Lahu, he said to them, Ki Amrinon Odom Osui Shalo Lasbias Atzmo. That a person will say things simply to create an impression that he is not a man of means. Hani mili mechayim. That type of behavior is characteristic only of someone who is healthy, who is continuing to live. Avol the achar misa lo. However, if he makes such a comment when he's about to die, then it's taken literally, and he will be obligated to pay. Poru palga. So the yesaimim, so the heirs, paid half. Tavinu ledino leidach palga. So the people to whom the money was supposedly owed sought, summoned the heirs to receive their other half. Asu lekamei de Reb Chiya. The case now came to Reb Chiya. We've underlined his name to contrast him with Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi above. Amar lahu, Reb Chiya says, Kishem she'odom osui shelo lasbias atzmo, just like a person will say things to create an impression that he does not have a lot of money, and he does that by saying he owes money. Kach odom osui shelo lasbias es bonov, a person will also take measures to create a similar impression regarding his sons. Therefore, the claimer, in this case, has nothing to claim. Amrulei, so the claimers said to Reb Chiya, Nezel v'nahader, after all, we already received half, should we return the half that we just received? Because when the person said that he owes us money, he was simply trying to create an impression that he's a man of debt, but doesn't really owe the money. Amalahu, now, with regard to the money that you collected already, you don't have to return it, because kvar hoire zaken, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi already ruled, and I'm not coming to differ with his ruling with respect to what you already got. Hoide b'fnei shnayim. Before we go on, let's glance at the outside margin, the nosei, the topic heading. Mosai kosvin shtar al hoide oso. Under what circumstances will we record a person's admission in a document form? You have hoide b'fnei shnayim, hoide b'fnei shalosh, where a person admits in front of two witnesses or in front of three. Three is a number of significance because three constitutes a court, and a group of three have power as a court to declare money belonging to A as belonging to B. That's called hefker based in hefker. As we go on in the Gemara, we will also notice some a diamond form. These are three deos beinyan hoida b'fnei shloisha mosai kasvinon. Three opinions with regard to confessions made in front of three. Under what circumstances will we record the admission? It's also noteworthy that when debts are recorded, it takes on a definition called milve b'shtar, a loan recorded in document form, as opposed to milve al peh. And that distinction carries along with it a number of different halachic legal outcomes. People to whom money is owed, in other words, lenders and the like, would generally speaking prefer to have these amounts recorded in documents. Continuing in the Gemara, hoide b'fnei shnayim, a person confessed owing money or admitted owing money in front of two. V'kanu miyado, and a kinyan gesture was made, and the exchange of a handkerchief was made at the point that this admission took place. Kosvin, a shtar, a document is prepared indicating that he made such an admission. There's a concept that stam kinyan l'ksiva ome, that when a kinyan gesture is made, the exchange of a handkerchief, the topic concerning which that exchange was made can be recorded. The second possibility, v'im lav, if there was no konu miyado, ein kosvin, that even though he said atem eda, even though the admitter, the borrower, may have said you be my witnesses, nevertheless, that's not sufficient grounds for having this admission recorded in a document. B'fnei shloisha v'lo konu miyado, let us say that a person appointed three, he made them into a basin, and did not make a kinyan gesture. Rav Omar Kosvin, for Rav Asi Omar Ein Kosvin. Rav says that once you appointed three, even without a kinyan, nevertheless the admission can be recorded. Rav Asi says, no. Havi Uvda, there was an incident where someone appointed three to serve as a bezdin and then made an admission. V'chosh lo Rav, lo Rav Asi, and Rav took into consideration Rav Asi's ruling and did not allow it to be recorded. As we mentioned before, we now encounter these diamonds. These diamonds are three deos, be'inyan hoido b'fnei shlosha, concerning admissions made in front of three. Under what circumstances do we record the admission? Omer Rav Abba bar Avo, ha udisa. This is a udisa, is a shtar hoido in front of three, admission in front of three, and there was no kinyan. Zimnin kasvinon v'zimnin lo kasvinon. Sometimes it will be recorded and sometimes no. Knifi v'yasvi lo kasvinon. If the three that were present when the admission took place were already there anyway, they were knifi, gathered and sitting there, then we would not record the admission in writing. Kanfinu ihu kasvinon. If the borrower actively gathered them together, that shows us that he's interested in them serving as a beis din. And as a result of that, we can have the admission recorded in document form. As we mentioned before, a court has a lot of strength to it, but that's provided according to this approach, we see that they were assembled as a court. Rava Omar Afilu Kanfinu Ihu Lo Kasvinon. Even if there was a special effort made to gather the three judges together, we will not record the admission that took place in their presence. Ad yomer lehu havu alai aidai, until he, the borrower, or the one admitting, says, I want you to be havu alai dayonai, that I want you to be my judges. Mor barav ashi yomer afilu omar havu alai dayonai, even if the admitter said, I want you to serve as my judges, loy kasvinon, we do not have it recorded. Ad de kavi duchto v'shachi umezamni lei lebeidina, until we establish a place, kavi duchto, we establish a place for them to sit, and they are sought after, messengers are sent out to seek them and gather them. This will be a gilui, a revelation that because this is a public matter, because he's being kovea mokom, that's kavi duchta, he's establishing a fixed place for them to sit, and he's sending out a summons to gather them together, this creates a sense of public awareness, and as such, it would be similar to a milva b'shtar, which also has public awareness. A person confesses or admits that he owes b'metatli, portables, v'konu miyado, and a kinyan was made, kosvin, then we will record his admission in a document. V'im lav, ein kosvin, if however we don't have the konu miyado, then it's not going to be recorded. B'mekarkoi, let us say we have someone who admits that a piece of land that was thought to be that of Reuven's, and Reuven turns around and says, I owe this to Shimon. B'mekarkoi velo konu miyodo mai. What is the halacha if the admission concerns land? However, a kinyan was not made to between the one admitting and the witnesses. Ameimar amar ein kosvin. Since there was no kinyan made, it's not, this admission is not recorded. Marzutra amar kosvin. V'ilchasa kosvin. Let us take a look at the Rashi. B'mekarkoi karka shohay Reuven musik bo v'hoidu l'shimon shishalo, where Reuven was assumed to be the owner, and he admits that it belongs to Shimon. Kosvin, Rashi says, d'ha kivon de'oidile, the day who, since Reuven admitted it was Shimon's, it's considered Shimon's. V'lo mechzer guvain, it's not lacking any further collection, because land is, as its very nature, is attached to the ground. It's not missing any further collection.
It's not like portables. The Bishamu Metatali, when it comes to things that are of a portable nature, Milvelohitsa Nitna, we say that things given as a loan, money or items that were given without expecting that very same item back, was given for the purpose of being used, of being spent. The chayiv bi'almahu, and it's considered an obligation, but not associated with any particular item or any particular coin. Umilva al peh rea mi milva bishtar. An oral loan is a weaker form of obligation than a written loan. Velo nichale la luma, and it's therefore not assumed to be preferred by the borrower to have it upgraded into a written loan. Avul hacha gilui milsa bi'almahu. But here, since we're dealing with land, the issue of it being recorded doesn't serve to upgrade it. It's simply a revelation of what is. Continuing in the Gemara, we saw the Gemara rule like Marzutra, that by Karka, even though there was no Kinyan, once the admission was an admission concerning land, it can be recorded. Ravina ikla l'damharya. Damharya is the name of a place. Ravina went to this place. Amale Ravdimi bar Rav Huna midamharya l'Ravina. So Ravdimi asked Ravina, Metatali v'isnu b'nayu mai. What would be the halacha regarding an admission of Metatali that are present, that are extant at the time of the admission? Would that have the status of land as well, that's considered there, it's present? Amar le, so Ravina rules, kimekarkoi damu. Since the metatlin, since the portables are there, are present, it is like land, will be treated the same way. Rav Ashi, Amar kima de mechseri guvaino, since portables by their very nature need to be collected, and they're missing that. It's unlike land that is sitting there anyway, and it will never be moved from where it is. Since portables are missing collection, lo, it's not considered like land. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new geometric form, in this case a triangle with a colored-in top. These are explained, the outside margin, Beis dugmos shel shtari udisa shechaserim benusach shelahem. Two examples of documents containing a testimony of confession or admission, but something about their text is lacking. The Gemara opens up. Hahi udisa de lohave kosuv ba. There was a shtar, a document with two witnesses signed upon it, and there was lacking in it the following. Omar lono kisfu v'chasmu v'havule. That he told us to write it, sign it, and give it to the other party, to the lender. Abaye v'rova, v'yamit revayu, hainu d'reish lakish. To understand the validity of this document, we base ourselves on Reish Lakish's teaching, the Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish teaches in another context, Chazoka eino edim chosmin al hashtar ila im kein naase godol. There is an assumed status that witnesses will not sign a shtar unless it was done properly. Reish Lakish's case involves the sale of land. And we know that a person cannot sell land that had belonged to his father. He's not allowed to sell it until he reaches the age of 20. Therefore, if you see a sale of land, and one might in his mind question was the seller of age or not, so Reish Lakish's principle says you can assume he was of age because otherwise witnesses would not have signed it. Likewise, in our case, witnesses would not have signed this shtar udisa unless the borrower told them to write it. Maskefar of Popi Vitamer of Hunabrader of Yeshua. Rav Popi or other versions say Rav Huna Rav Yeshua raise an objection and says, "Mi komidi danan lo yadinon v'safri debei dino yadi." Is there such a thing like this halacha that, Rashi will help us out here? De anan lo yadinon, klomar yesh
dayonim yesh dayonim harbe shein pekim balocha zu shomarnu. We feel that there are many that are not expert in this halacha that we said the shnayim shelo konu miyado in kaisvin. That in the case of two people that heard an admission and no kinyan was made, that such admissions are not to be recorded. So Rav Papa says that our feeling is that there are many that are not familiar with this halacha. Shalinhu the Safri Dabai, the court scribes of Abai were consulted on this matter. Do you know this halacha? Viadi, and yes, they knew the halacha. The Safri de Rava, and they turned to the scribes of Rava, Viadi, and they as well knew this halacha. So it shows here that Popi's skepticism regarding the popularity or the widespread knowledge of this halacha was really unfounded, because it was known that it was known by scribes in general that two who were present during an admission, but a kinyan was not made. A kinyan was not made. Therefore, there is insufficient grounds for a shtar, a document, to be prepared concerning that admission. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.